Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us this privilege, Lord, to assemble in thy name today. We ask, Father, that you would be with us, Lord, during service, and we ask that your word would go forth unfettered, and we just commit our lives, Lord, to walking in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, several months ago, in our questions and answers series on the Alpha and Omega principle concerning the three Exoduses, we point out that the similarities between the three Exoduses concerning how that God came down in the form of a pillar of fire. He then raised up a prophet from among the brethren, and through this prophet he revealed his purpose and plan, and he brought the people out from organization by a mighty hand, demonstrating his supernatural presence among the people while vindicating the message that he gave the prophet to call the people out from the bondage and slavery of organization. The message was to come out from among her and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will be to thee a father unto thee, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 6. Well, we then showed how that after the people came out, then God withdrew his prophet from the scene. But God remained on the scene, manifesting his presence in the same pillar of fire to lead the people into the promise for the age, using another ministry to positionally place a people into the promise of that day. In other words, there's always two parts to an exodus. There's a coming out and there's a going in. And Brother Branham said that in the going out or the coming out, that Moses brought the people out, but Moses didn't bring the people in. Of course, we know that by Scripture that it was Joshua that brought the people in under the same pillar of fire. And so every time there's an exodus, you have a prophetic part of the exodus, which is a calling out, and you have a teaching part of the exodus under the same pillar of fire, the same God, bringing the people in and positionally placing those people into the promise. We saw how that in Moses' day, God ordained Moses as that prophet to bring the people out with a mighty hand, but then God remained on the scene after taking Moses off the scene and brought the people in under Joshua. At the second exodus, we see how the pillar of fire came down. The same pillar of fire that led Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt is the same pillar of fire that came down and indwelt his son. Brother Branham called that Jesus in Jesus. And when God entered into his son Jesus, and in him, the pillar of fire brought the people out of organized religion that had held down and suppressed the word of God. Remember when the people were still had their minds on Moses. You know, the problem is, see, they don't deny the prophet after he's off the scene. They just deny him while he's there. They don't deny the teaching ministry after it's all gone. They just deny it when he's there. The whole world claims to believe the Apostle Paul, although, of course, a lot of them have a lot of trouble with what he says. But, you know, they don't deny Paul was a teacher to the Gentiles. But, see, it's because they cannot see it for the day in which they live. And so when Moses was there, the people rejected him. But then after years gone by, they say, oh, yeah, he was a great prophet. And so when Jesus comes, the one that Moses talked about, he said, the Lord shall raise up a prophet from amongst thy brethren like unto me. And of course, when he comes, they say, well, we got Moses. We don't need you. You see? So God then takes Jesus off the scene, and he remains as a pillar of fire, using Paul to positionally place the people, to take the ministry of Christ, showing it from Genesis all the way up through the Scripture, and to positionally place the people into Christ. Well, now, if God did that in the first Exodus, he does that in the second Exodus, why wouldn't he do that in the third Exodus? He did, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we see that in this hour, God had a prophet on the scene, same pillar of fire on the scene. And in fact, God took his picture with the prophet, with that pillar of fire, letting us know that that pillar of fire was here, and that same prophet said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Now, we're not to the millennium yet, although there's many people in this message claiming to believe the message. They're saying that we are in the millennium. They're saying that the rapture took place in 1963. We don't take communion anymore. You know, la-di-da-di-da. And just a bunch of folly. I mean, I still see the lions killing lambs. I still see a bunch of wickedness in the world. I don't see a resurrected saints have come and gone. I don't see that we're in glorified bodies. I don't see a whole lot of things that's supposed to be if we're in the millennium. And if this is millennium, well, frankly, God can have it. I'd rather lay in the dust for another 1,000 years. I mean, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but the fact is, if this is the best God can do, then who needs it? You know, like Brother Vail said, if this is a squeeze, well, then give me 1,000 years of good health. You see. So what we're looking at then is the fact that that a lot of folly has come, and we see that a lot of folly took place during these three Exoduses. But now in this hour, we had the pillar of fire. We have a prophetic ministry. Come out from among her, my people. Be separate, saith the Lord. I will be a father to you. You should be sons and daughters to me. And so we had this prophetic ministry. Well, now what happens is that in each age is that when the people come out, then God places a ministry to positionally place the people, but they reject that ministry. So you have the people that reject the prophet when he comes. They're out to begin with. Then you have this group, large group of people that follows the prophet, but then when God takes the prophet off, takes the miracles away, and he remains with the teaching, they say, well, we got the prophet. Well, we got his tapes. We got his writings. You know, they had Moses' writings. They didn't need Jesus to come along. You know? And so we see then that they say, well, we got Jesus. We don't need Paul. Who's Paul? What's he got? And Paul was positionally placing the people. The same thing today. And so God has given us a teaching ministry. It began through Brother Vail's ministry, but it has not ended there. As Brother Vail told me, he said, people say when I'm gone, that the teaching ministry is over. He said, that's a lie. He said, because the Holy Spirit is a teacher. And as long as the Holy Spirit is in the earth, there'll still be teaching because it's the Holy Spirit who is a teacher. Just like when Brother Vail was to introduce Brother Branham, he said the first time he introduced Brother Branham, he said he quoted what he had heard that... as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. And that next night, the brother said, no, Brother Vail, that's not the way it was. So shall your ministry. So he gets up there the next night, and as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your ministry forerun my second coming. And Brother Branham got up afterwards and said, no, Brother Vail, that's wrong. He said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message. And Brother Vail said, just a minute, Brother Branham. He said, back there it was one man, John the Baptist, a man. Now you're saying it's not a man, it's a message? He said, now you got it, Doc. So if it's not a man, William Branham, it's a message. Then if it was not a Joshua or a Paul in this hour, but a teacher, it's the Holy Spirit who is the teacher. You see what I mean? In other words, it's the message and being and the teaching administration of the Holy Spirit that is teaching the people, positionally placing the people. So, again, God using that prophetic ministry to bring the people out of organized religion to a relationship with himself. But then God took his son away, the Son of Man ministry, that ministry of the prophet for the age, went off the scene. And once again, God raised up a teaching ministry to position and place the people in the promise for the word of that age. God sent forth that same pillar of fire and anointed Paul to be a teacher of the Gentiles to positionally place the people in Christ Jesus. But what do they do in Jerusalem? They sat back at headquarters. I call it Jeffersonville, but it's Jerusalem, you know. Jerusalem, Jeffersonville, they will start with a J, kind of interesting. But the fact is that they sat back there and they pontificated, well, he's in the message, he's not in the message, he's in the message, he's not in the message. And they got so cold and stiff that God had to just do away with the church at Jerusalem. They questioned whether Paul was even, you know, they questioned Paul's agenda. What's he doing out there? He doesn't have our permission to go. We're not going to support him. You know, for 8 years, Paul heard from nobody. 14 years, he heard from nobody. Finally, went back because they needed his help. They were sending up ministers to try to interfere with everything Paul was doing. They came to Galatia. Paul called them false brethren, trying to tell the people, well, you know what? It's not good that you're Gentiles. You ought to be circumcised. Become Jews first, then you can become Christians. Bunch of legalists. Frozen out. Icicle churches. And so what did God do? Well, he just sent Titus in and dispersed that whole bunch. Got rid of them. So the church at Jerusalem was no more. Now this morning I'd like to bring out one more aspect of this scene that unfolded in each of these ages. We are warned by Scripture that during the Exodus, men would rise up from among the brethren that would be used by Satan to hold back the truth and to suppress it, thus trying to interfere with the full Exodus of coming out and entering back in. In Romans 1:17 we read, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrightwiseness of men who hold the truth in unrightwiseness. Now, the word hold here was translated from the Greek word katekō, which means to hold down or to hold it back as to keep it from going forward. I want you to think about that because that's what's happening today. Many who claim to follow Brother Vail do not have a clue as to what he believes. They can quote it, as Brother Vail told me himself. He said they got it, but they don't got it. They can quote the scripture. They can quote what Brother Vail said. They can quote what Brother Branham said. But if you notice, when Brother Branham went off the scene, God didn't finish with the bride. Brother Branham said the same pillar of fire that he said is leading us to the millennium. The same pillar of fire is still on the scene. Now God took the prophet off the scene. The same pillar of fire is still on the scene. It reverted to a teaching ministry. And so the teacher himself has been not teaching. So does that mean that the pillar of fire has gone? No, the pillar of fire is still leading us further and further into the promises of in our position in Christ. But what do? Just like in Jerusalem, they did in Jeffersonville. They said, well, who needs Lee Vail? He's got his own agenda. He's got his own message. You know, we got the prophet. We got the tapes. You know, so we got it all. And what happened? They froze out. So what happens? And God sends a teacher along, Brother Vail. And what do? Well, we got his tapes. We don't need anything else. And they froze out. They don't realize that that word keeps breaking down until there is going to be a people who are positionally placed in Christ Jesus. And you've got to keep walking in the light as he is walking in the light. Because the minute you stop, he keeps moving on. And in fact, Brother Branham said from Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, for it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead and they're gone. So I'm going to ask you the question. What has God been doing for the last 45 years since the prophet's been off the scene? He said the people miss God by always looking back, seeing what he did, always looking forward like they're looking for a return ministry. And I don't say nothing against the return of William Branham and a resurrection. But let me just say this. They were looking in Jerusalem for the return ministry of the man Jesus, and they failed to recognize the return of the pillar of fire in their midst. And so they rejected the ministry of the pillar of fire in their midst. Where was the 3,000 people that were baptized on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem? When the real church, which was 12 people, up in Ephesus, as Brother Branham called them, that was the lighthouse of God for that day. 12 people in Jerusalem, 12 people in Ephesus. Where were the 3,000 that were baptized by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? Where were they at the end of the age? You see, you say, well, whether they're baptized with the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham said, you could be baptized every hour of your life with the Holy Spirit and still go to hell. Paul said all those people that left Egypt were baptized under this cloud and in the sea. They had water baptism in the Red Sea, and they were baptized under the Spirit of God that fed them 40 years in the wilderness. And where were they? Everyone dead. And that's the lot of those who follow this end time ministry of William Branham and Lee Vail. If they're not continuing to walk in the light, they will freeze out, just like they did in the Alpha. They're going to do it in the Mega. Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't like this kind of preaching, but let me tell you something. This is Scripture, and you can find the pattern right there in the Scripture. So you see how important it is for us to continue to walk in the light as long as he is in the light. Therefore, if the just are to live by faith, then faith is not a thing of the past. The faith does not live by a historical precept or a historical fact. The just shall live by faith. What is faith? It's a revelation. What is revelation? Something that was made known once, long, long time ago? Or does the word revelation happen to deal with the fact that it's unfolding before you? There's an apocalypsis. There's an unveiling. There's a revealing. It's not a past tense thing. It's not a future tense thing. It's a present tense reality. What is God doing today? What is happening to the bride in 2008, not 1965, not 1980s? What is God doing in 2008 for you personally? Are you being dressed in the Word? Are you being positioned and placed as sons and daughters of God? Are you knowing your place? Are you the manifested sons of God, manifesting obedience to the Word? And like I said many times, they ask me from overseas, the questions come in, and they say, well, what will be the manifestation of the sons of God? Will we have great big miracles and things like that? I said, just a minute now. What manifested Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Was it miracles? If you say miracles, I can show you where Balaam had miracles. I can show you where Jannes and Jambres had miracles. I can show you in this hour where Oral Roberts had miracles. Many Pentecostal preachers had miracles. It's not miracles, brother, sister. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. God said obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience to the word. Not having your own doctrine. Not having your own speech. You only say what God commands you to say. Not having your own actions, but doing what he's shown you in the word. Not having your own will, but surrendering your own will to him. Jesus said, it's written in the book, I've come to do thy will, O God. So you see, if you just stand back and you say, well, you know, we believe what happened back then. Yeah, we all believe it. Brother Brown said, that's good that you believe everything I say. He said, that just means you can read. But what about today? Where are you standing in 2008, going on 2009 pretty soon? Where are you all standing at? Because I'm going to tell you something. As it was in the days of Noah, only 8 souls made the ark. Out of probably 6 billion people on earth at the time. So you see how important it is for us to continue to walk, keep walking in the light as he is in the light. Now, in order to do that, you've got to be focused on him that's in the light. And walking with him. Therefore, if the just are to live by faith, then faith is not a thing of the past, but it is an ongoing revelation that takes us step by step into the right wiseness of God himself. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, not if you walk in the light as he once was in the light. Because faith is a revelation, it's an unveiling, a bringing into open view what is presently set before you. Revelation is not something from days gone by, but it is the present truth. And those men who hold back the truth do so by making it a historical thing instead of an ever-present reality. Brother Branham said from Reproach of the Word, he said, men are always the same as ever. Now I'm going to say something again, and I want you to listen at me. You on the tape, don't you miss it, but study it. Men now is like he's always been. He's praising God for what he's done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he has done and is doing. He praises God for what he has done. He looks forward to what he will do, but he ignores what God's a-doing. And when you put the prefix a in front of doing, a-doing, it means an ongoing thing. Like a vindication isn't just vindication one time. A vindication means it's a continuous vindication. Well, how can you have a continuous vindication? Because it's God's presence. God vindicates by his presence. You take presence away, you don't have vindication. Like Brother Bill taught in 1982, no God, no prophet, no prophet, no God. You see? So Brother Bram said, he ignores what God's a-doing. And there he misses the whole thing. I hope they get it, see? Ignoring what he's doing. He knows what he has done. And he knows the promise, what he will do. But he fails to see what he's doing. So what is God doing now, since his prophet was taken from the scene? Come on, I want you to tell me. But Jesus said it would be this way. He called them hypocrites because they would not go in themselves, and neither would they allow others to go in either. You see, they've gotten big, fat, and sassy. They got big churches now, so they sit back and they do nothing. They talk about a little bit of diet. They talk about clothes on the women. They revert back to the dress code. They revert back to using deacon boards to slam people down and keep people in place. You think God's happy about that? Brother Branham's last message he wanted to preach was the trail of the serpent. Brother Vail is not a happy camper right now. And when he preaches one more time, he's going to let it fly. Because of all the unbelief of the people, just status quo. When people ought to be putting every effort they can in getting that ministry out before the public, they're wanting to control it. Last winter, Brother Vail was ready to get a printer like I had down at work so he could print his own messages and get them out because the people dragged their feet. You think Brother Branham would be happy that they've got 35 years more to go to get all the message in English at the Voice of God? Why are they holding back? It's to control it. So we see the next attributes of the three exoduses is that men arise among us, among those who are called out. who use their position of authority among the called out to keep others from entering in. Galatians 3 and 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul called it a bewitching. Now, in all three Exoduses, it is not the outsiders that try to keep the children of God from entering into the promises of God for that age. But it is the wise men who were raised up within the Exodus movement itself, who enter into these positions of leadership, and they begin to get fat off the backs of the people, and they like their big churches, they like their big incomes, they feel threatened when God anoints a ministry to lead the people into their positioning into the body of Christ. Now, we've just returned from meetings in South Africa, Malawi, and Tanzania. And in the two of those countries, we had organized boycotts of our meetings that took place. And they tried to do it in Malawi, but the ministers there wouldn't listen. And I'm going to show you by God's word this morning that that spirit that would organize a boycott is the same satanic spirit upon the Catholic Church, is the same satanic spirit that was upon the Jews who organized boycotts of Jesus' meetings, is the same satanic spirit that organized boycotts of Paul's meetings. Men who were false Christians, they call themselves, it says that they were Pharisees, believers that were Pharisees. Why were they still Pharisees if they're believers? Paul called them false brethren. They would do such a thing. In Luke 20, verse 17, we read, "And we beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." So you can see that the same ministry that was the corner is the same ministry that is the head, is the same ministry that's rejected each time. The stone that the builders rejected. Luke 17:25, Jesus says, "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." In Luke 19:22, Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." It's the religious that rejected him every time. Again, in Matthew 21 and verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if they rejected Christ back then, they're going to reject him today. Well, then what about those people rejecting? What about them? Where do they fit in the picture at all? Again, in Mark 7 and verse 9, "And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions." Hey, we're getting fat, guys. We're getting nice, big churches. We're getting good incomes, you know. Don't disturb things. Don't let some new guy off the block come in and don't let him, you know, disturb our people. That's what they told him. They said, you know, they're going to disturb your people. You're going to shake up your people. When I was in Uganda, a couple of those ministers came and they said, you know, why you come here No, it was the one that Paul, you know, scripture said about Paul, every place he went, there was no small stir. Yeah, stir. Yeah, and, yeah, is that what you said, stir? Okay. Anyway, they said, "Why do you come and stir up our people, our nation?" I said, "Your nation?" "Yeah, they're stirred up everywhere." I said, "Well, that's good." "Oh, you're proud of it?" I said, "Well, not proud of it, but I said, every place Paul went, there was no small stir." I said, "What have I said that of William Branham or the scripture that you don't agree with?" "Well, it's not what you said, it's how you said it." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Do you believe that the body of Jesus was deity?" "Yes, we believe the body of Jesus was deity." I said, "Then you don't believe the prophet." I said, "Why don't you go out and get your own message?" I said, "You're not preaching what the prophet said." I said, "He's no more your prophet than Peter was the first pope. If you can't say what he said, if you can't teach what he taught, then don't even claim him. Go out and start your own thing." You see, they tried to silence Paul. The false brethren came to the churches that he established and tried to bring them back under the law and back into organization, but he withstood them to the face. They tried to silence Peter, James, and John. They forbid them to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified and risen. And they beat him and imprisoned them, but that wouldn't stop them from testifying anyhow. They tried to stop Stephen by stoning him, but he cried all the more in his sermon that he preached. Condemning their unbelief is the longest sermon recorded in the Bible by a deacon. They tried to stop John. They boiled him in oil, thinking that that would take care of the matter. But it didn't work. So they excommunicated him to the Isle of Patmos. But that never stopped him. And although men deserted him, the presence of God did not. You see, the ministry that is worth its salt, so to speak, will always have resistance to it. That is a pattern set forth in every age. And what they do, and what these guys do not understand, is that in their trying to hold back and suppress that ministry, they are actually playing into the purpose and plan of God, in which the rejection brings on the actual crowning of that ministry. Hallelujah. From present stage of my ministry, Brother Ram said, now here's the thing I want to kind of exercise on for a few minutes. Now, it's usually at such a time as this, when man has stayed true to the Word and all men has forsaken him, until God steps in defense of that person and crowns his ministry. See, that's right. What a consolation. And from blasphemous names, Brother Bram said, I don't think Demas went out into the world, because Demas was of a, well, if you know the history, he was a big, rich family, and he wanted to go with the rest of the crowd. But Paul, poor little Paul, who was he? Or who was it? God always lets a ministry get like that, and then he crowns it. He let Jesus get to the place, look at there, where he could raise the dead, when he could do anything he wanted to and let the Roman soldiers jerk beard out of his face, and Brother Brian makes a spitting sound, spit in his face, hit on him like that and put a rag over his face and said, now you know, they tell me that you're a prophet. All of them stood around with their reeds, and Brother Brian illustrates hitting him and hit him on the head and so forth, and now tell us which one hit you. He knowed which one hit him. Sure he did. See? But his ministry was fixing to be crowned. It always gets to that spot where it seems like it's real, real weak, just about gone, then God crowns it. Oh, Lord, let it happen. Let it happen, Lord. Let's bow our heads. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Now, worship him. We've had hard teaching and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's raise up our hands now to him. Now, be in the Spirit, and I love him, see? I love him because he first loved me. And from the Evening Messenger, Brother Branham said, now, when the message is rejected by the people and the messenger seems to be completely defeated, he can't get another door, he can't get a place like our Lord was. Remember when he was, when he was healing the sick, the young prophet, oh my, he's a great fellow, hello Rabbi, how you doing? But one day he sat down and began to tell them the truth. He found favor with the church, the people, thousands followed him. He had 70 ministers around him besides the 12. But one day after he had multiplied the loaves to prove that he was God, because only God can rain down bread from heaven, yeah, see? He multiplied the loaves, and immediately after that, he walked onto the water, performed miracles, and done the things that he had done to prove that he who he was. And then when he did, he sat down and began to strictly tell the people. The people turned away. And the 70 said, ah, who can hear that? That's a hard saying. You tear down what he really thought was something else? Now, who are you to tell us these things? And they walked away. Then Jesus turned to his little group, like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Sodom, and said, you want to go too? Then Peter said those great words, Lord, where are we going to go? God help us. Notice when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated, that's when God steps on the scene, his message is over. Noah, closing now. Noah preached in the door of his ark for 120 years, till when finally they laughed him to scorn. Noah stepped into the ark thinking that it would just be all right, and God closed the door. And the people hung around to see what was going to happen. 7 days he sat there and sweated it out. Now on the seventh day the rain came, Moses, what was he in? The very line of duty, leading the people. The Red Sea got in his way. He was at the end of his road. It was then that God came in with the east wind and parted the sea at the end of the road. Well, we find that Jesus warned his disciples that this rejection would take place and how to react to it when it does come. In Luke 9 and verse 5, he said, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for the testimony against them. In Mark chapter 6, verse 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And I don't just think it's an unbeliever that will reject the present day truth. It's the make-believer who does it. In John 1:11, and he came to his own, the Bible says. And what happened? His own received him not. The Apostle John said in 3 John In verse 9 it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diophrastes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, he received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So let's face it, the truth is not for those who would oppose it. They're too busy building their own little kingdoms, and they have no time, nor will they submit themselves to those who have the truth. As Brother Vail used the term always, he said that when God has given the ball to somebody, they want to rip the ball from them. They don't want to cooperate. Paul told us why in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why they fight it. They can't understand what God is doing. They're still looking back, still looking forward, and failing to recognize what is God supposed to be doing in 2008? In your life, my life, in the life of the bride, is she just supposed to be sitting back and getting fat and having great jobs and doing all kinds of things? Or is she supposed to be getting herself ready, dressed in the Word? Notice he used peer pressure to control the people. We saw it in the way that the Jews tried to keep people away from the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. If you turn with me to John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Notice, not to him, but in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay and spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, they said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they to him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. There you go. The devil doesn't change. He just goes from one person to the next. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man was a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him, what did he do to thee? What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Hey, this guy had some moxie. I like it. He's giving it back to these guys. Then they reviled him, and they said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, for this fellow we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You see, they can't take the truth. is going to rip into their profits. They can, you know, they manipulate the people for one reason, a meal ticket. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that now talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which claim to see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should not have no sin. But now you say that you see, therefore your sin remaineth. Wow. He didn't pull any punches, did he? Again, we see in John 12, verse 37, But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah had said to them, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and he spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. You see the control that these ministers have over the people? Nevertheless, the chief rulers also among believed him, but because of the Pharisees did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried, and he said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So who's here as judge? It's the Word. Who are they rejecting? It's the Word. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, Influence, he said, We notice today that because of the people have no reverence. They'll come to church. People will come to church and cut up and laugh and talk and make fun. Setting where the gospel is being preached, no reverence at all. And meet you on the street and you don't expect any respects from people. We mustn't do that. But yet it shows a Christian dignity to at least honor the people and say, Good morning, brother, and whatever you wish. But some of them, holler, Hello, preach. Oh, that's so common. Remember, Jesus said, As you do unto these, you do it unto me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth him that I sent receives me. Or receives him that sent me. See, as you do to them, you have did it to me. And the irreverence, you know what it is? It's they are not conscious of the presence of God. The world has become so common and religion has become such a low ebb until there's no respects just at all. It's just as it's always been. So then, who are these people that would hold back the Word of God as it is a living Word among the people today? Jesus said in John 8:47, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because what? You're not of God. John said, They that are of God hear us. The Apostle John said, 1 John 4 and 6, We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And from respects, Brother Bram said, If you can't respect the man, respect the office he holds in God. That's exactly right. Respect him. If a minister comes up, your pastor, always respect him. I've heard congregations talk about their pastor, just talk about him, run him down, ridicule him. How is that pastor ever going to do anything for you? He can't do it. I don't say this church, but I mean churches. I've seen it. That if you've got to love your pastor, you've got to know that he's a human being, but yet God has made him his pastor. The Holy Ghost has made him overseer. Then you've got to respect him in that manner. And no matter what the pastor's done, if you respect him in your heart as God's servant, God will respect you for doing it. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, Jesus said. He that don't receive me can't receive him. You see, they said God was their father. He said, Your father's the devil. So you see, you've got to respect it and believe it. And believe that he is. So they say, well, what do they do then? Well, see, what they do, the trick of it is, you see, in order to hold back the truth, they know that the word's going to get out. The person's coming. So what do? They trash the person. Oh, don't go to his meetings because he's preaching two gods. Yeah, that's what they did in Kampala. They went to 60 churches, three ministers from the United States, claiming the same message. Oh, don't go to Brian Kosorik's meetings because he's preaching Lee Vail's two gods. It's going to break up your churches. It's going to disturb everything. You see the trick that they try to do. And what about those who are supposed to be in the same camp as us? Oh, what's he coming here for? What agenda does he have? What's his motive? He's trying to make himself somebody. Let me tell you something. You don't try to make yourself somebody by going to mosquito-infested places. Standing in front of pulpits where the swarms of mosquitoes are so thick that you're thankful you have about two doses of mosquito repellent on. And I don't have a bunch of hair to hide my head from either. As Brother Marcus said, and I can't say it over the pulpit, we can't even go to the bathroom in those places. Just a hole in the ground. Swarm of just a pillar of mosquitoes straight up. Oh yeah, a lot of fun. It's a real vacation, isn't it, Paul? John 13:20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So what if they talk behind your back and get the people to question your motives and say that you have your own agenda for going where God calls you to go with a message that only glorifies God and points the people to their position in the family of God as sons and daughters of the Almighty God and the Sovereign God? A message that shows a pattern of sonship, which pattern was in Christ Jesus, the obedient Son of God and firstborn in a vast family of brethren. What problem do they have with that? We don't go to their churches. We don't try to influence their people. So why can't they get behind us and support us in prayer and fasting and with a positive attitude? You know, it's bad enough getting shot by the enemy in the front lines. It's worse when you're getting shot from behind. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 48, and he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me, for he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And yet they can't even receive a child of the king on a mission from the king himself. Jesus said in Mark 9:37, whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So who then are they rejecting? When Samuel came and said, they don't want me anymore, God said, it's not you they don't want, it's me they don't want. In Matthew 10 and verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. How many times did Jesus have to say it? If you're not in their circle, then they're not going to cooperate. And in fact, if you're not in their circle, then they condemn you and speak all manner of evil against you and feel self-righteous in doing so. And they try to turn the people against you before they even have a chance to hear from themselves a message of grace and the spirit of adoption. And yet they build the tombs of the prophets, and Jesus said they're the ones that put them in there. Oh, we love Brother Vail's ministry. We just think it's a great ministry. What are you doing for it? What have you done to publish it? What have you done to get it out? Come on. When they could be making tapes, they sit with a broken tape machine for 2 years and don't fix it. What's their motive? What's their agenda? This little church has put out more of Brother Vail's ministry than any other church, including his own. Why? For money? We don't charge. They charge. We don't charge. Not for a penny. We haven't charged a penny for anything we've sent out of this church. So what's our motive? To make money? Ha. Yeah, right. If I kept all the money that we spent on this life, we'd be a lot better off, but not on the other. You see, we know how to invest for the future. Laying up treasure in heaven. That's what it's all about. From the spoken words of the original seed, Brother Ram said, I hope that's clear, see, because, and if one says it's a way, and one says you must join this church has salvation. Listen, I've even heard people say that. There's nobody in the bride outside of this so-and-so church. A person that would say that isn't even saved, much less in the bride of Christ. How could you be saved and say, if you're not in this church, you're not in it at all? That's a denominational spirit. He says, I hope that's clear. If one says it this way and one says you must join this church and this church only has salvation, that's the Catholic version. The Lutheran come around and they say that they are the way. And here come along the Methodists with something else, and the Baptists with something else, the Pentecostals with something else, and there seems to be such a gathering of confusion. But then when you take this written word to our brethren, many of them says, well, them days isn't now. Another one says it's just a history. The other one says it's a book of poems. The other one says the church has the right to change it. Then where do we stand? Where is there a resting place for our faith? As one minister goes around the message now, saying Brother Brown appeared to him in a vision. Brother Brown gave him permission to change the message. Well, that's strange because Paul said, though, we are an angel from heaven. Say any other thing than what's already been said. Let him be accursed. Bringing curses right into the message. From lean not unto thine own understanding, Brother Brown said, it's ordained for this Laodicean church to be in this condition, putting Christ on the outside and him knocking, trying to get back in. Brother Branham knocks in the pulpit. No cooperation nowhere, though. Vindicating his word in the day now, like he did in every day, and they walk right away from it, leaning to their own understanding. That's all there is to it. That's Laodicea. From why it had to be shepherds. After Luther's revival, some come in organization. After Wesley's revival, come in organization. After Alexander Smith, John Alexander Campbell, John Smith, all the rest of them come organization. After Pentecost, come right down the real thing, but it came in organization. What did it do? It pulled away. We've had 15 years of revival. It's never been known in all the history and watch. In this 15 years of revival, it swept around the world and not one organization been built around it. Where was it? It started the latter rain. It died instant. The instant it died. There's been no organization follow this. Why? It's the grain itself. There can be no more. And the shuck now is pulling away. No cooperation. Nobody wants you. Why is it? It has to be that way. From why it had to be shepherds. Notice the great shepherd, prophet, his ministry. Of his miracles, every church opened and would receive him. They wanted their sick healed. They wanted to do great things. His popularity was great. But when the evening time came, one day after he had turned water to wine and had fed thousands of bread and had performed miracles, he began to sit down and to talk to them. And he said to them, I and my Father are one. Why sayest thou, show us the Father? O brother, this man making himself equal with God. That was too much for their ecclesiastical thinking, but it was the truth. He was, see? But when they did, many did not follow him. Then he turned around and he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life. You have no life in you. Now, what do you think a smart, intellectual person would thought? I imagine the priest that had him in the temple was very ashamed of them having him there. To think that a man would stand up and say a thing like that, except you people eat my flesh and drink my blood, said, this is a human vampire. See, eat my flesh, drink. Why, he's a cannibal. You think good-thinking people, well, you'll get away from such a lunatic as that. He never explained it. He just said he did it to stumble them, to separate his sheep from goats. He did it to throw them off. And then nobody wanted to cooperate with him. They had no cooperation from then on. And from the harvest time, he said it's a carrier. It had to be. But when that wheat begins to grow, like the church first was a carrier to Jesus, but when he began to tell them the truth of God, they separated from him. Now, what's happening? No cooperation. Why? It has to be that way. So that's the wheat itself can lay in the sun, the S-U-N, and so the spiritual wheat can lay before the S-O-N to be turned to a golden grain of the Word. See? Made Word, made flesh, vindicated. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The church that lives by the Word, rightly, not through organization, but in the presence of the Word, the Son, it becomes what? A very same Word that went down on the day of Pentecost. And what he said about the fivefold ministry? So that the people might come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what makes them mature. That's what makes them finishes off the church. Because if you know he's a son, then you can see the pattern between the Father and the Son. Then you can know your own pattern. You see? From proving his word, he said, how hard it was on little Joseph to know that the poor little fellow, away from his people, betrayed by his brethren, thrown into a ditch, supposedly to be dead, sheep blood upon his coat, where they slayed a lamb to eat it, put the blood upon it, and took it to his father, knowing all of this. But Joseph could remember one thing, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. He knew that he was a believer. No matter how much his brothers turned him out, how much there was no cooperation or nothing else, Joseph knew God would keep his word. When he saw that vision of all of them bowing before him, he knew that he had to come to the place because it was, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. I don't care how unreasonable it seemed, Joseph knew it was the truth. No matter how hard the task was and what he had to do to go through with it, he knew someday every one of them would bow before his feet. How is he going to do it when they hated him? But he knew God would prove his word to be so every time from going beyond the camp. Now, after 400 years, God walked right among them one day. According to the scripture, he was to be made flesh and dwell among them. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And when he came among the people, they said, "We'll not have this man rule over us." What fellowship card does he pack? What denomination sent him? He had no cooperation. Every church he went to, they threw him out. They had nothing to do with him because he wasn't one of them. And as it was then, so is it now. The Bible said the Laodicean would put him on the outside. And he was knocking, trying to get in. There's something wrong somewhere. So you don't think when people boycott the meetings, they're not putting Christ on the outside? You don't think that that's not the Laodicean spirit? And when look, there's two ways to boycott a meeting. You can tell the people right out not to go, or you can speak bad enough words about the person that people will choose not to go. It happens. When he says that the Pharisees, they were hypocrites, he said they refused to go in and they won't allow others that want to go in. What are they doing? They're bad-mouthing. They're spreading a bunch of lies. As I said, I told the people, I said, look, I told the minister, says, you begin preaching this doctrine and they're going to hate you. But I said, when they start throwing stones at you, don't throw the stones back at them, because you don't realize those stones are gold bullion. That's your gold. Jesus said, great is your reward. He said, when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, he said, great is your reward in heaven. I believe Brother Branham will be the richest man coming out of this generation. Brother Vail will probably be the second richest. Right now, we're working on being the third. I just say that as a joke, but because it's true. I don't know any other ministry that's getting boycotted like we are. Getting bad mouth from amongst our own ranks. Oh, he's got his own agenda. He wants to be, Lee Vail's successor. Hogwash. Brother Vail's a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm teaching, but I'm not a teacher. I'm one that's sent. That's what God sent me for. From Feast of the Trumpets. And now, Lord, there's no cooperation nowhere. Trying even to get into South Africa, where I know there's some souls there yet waiting. Every place, and look like they won't receive me, Lord. Not because of me, Lord, it's because of this message. But you said it would be this way, and you made it known to us, so we wouldn't be discouraged. We know the hour that we're living in. Right there in South Africa. He says, because of the message. Yeah. Well, what's our message? What are we going around the world preaching, Paul? About what a great ministry we got? About how great we are? About what a big church we have? And all the programs we have going? You don't hear any I's in those messages or any we's in those messages. You hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and how obedient he was to the Father, and how in all things he subjected himself, his mind, his will, his body, his speech, everything to the Father. That's what the message is all about. From Feast of the Trumpets, and Jesus had been put out. Wouldn't have no cooperation with nobody. He put on the outside, rejected. The Bible said so. So it's Christ made manifest among us. Jesus among us. All manifest in the purity of his word, making it known. This is not just make of friends. This is thus saith the Lord. It's a scripture. And from the trial. But bear me record, the seventh church age, which is the Laodicean church age, which we admit that this is the Laodicean age. Remember, he, the Word, was put on the outside of the church. Is that right? He put the church. He was put out of the church, and he was on the outside trying to get back in. I stand at the door and knock, and you say, I'm rich. I have need of nothing. Yeah. We're rich. We got our people. We got the tapes. We got the MP3s. We got the books. We got Brother Branham. Yes, we don't need anybody. Oh, we got Lee Vail. We don't need anybody. Who's going to come along and teach after that? Well, let me tell you something, brother. The Holy Spirit's a teacher. He, the Word, was put out of the church. Is that right? Put out of the church, and he was on the outside trying to get back in. I stand at the door and knock. But I am rich. I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art miserable, blind, naked, wretched, and don't know it? He was on the outside, the Word. What is it? Our traditions. Our Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal traditions has rejected the Word. It can have no cooperation nowhere. Everybody's hands off of it and want to call it an evil spirit. And do you understand that Jesus said in the last days before the coming of the end that he would be revealed again as Son of Man, not Son of God? And that fulfills Malachi 4 and all these other promises of Abraham, the last sign that Abraham received. He was waiting for the coming Son. And the last sign that was to be received was God revealed in a human being. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. From spiritual amnesia, he wasn't much to look at, but he had thus saith the Lord. That's the main thing, I think. Of course, he came to Samaria to begin his campaign. I'm sure he had no cooperation from nobody. He had no fellowship card from any denomination. He had no credentials to show what group he came from. But he had one thing. He had the word of the Lord for that city. And I wonder if we could transport Amos today down to our time. I wonder if he'd be welcome in our city today. I wonder if we would receive him, or would we just like they did? We find our cities in the same decay, and we find that sin is just great among the people as it was then. I wonder if this little unknown man, how is he going to start his campaign? How? Where is he going to begin at? What church is he going to do? Or who's going to cooperate with him? He had nothing to show where he come from. He had nothing at all, but thus saith the Lord for that city. From the voice of the sign. And now we find that this day that we're living in is just a repeat of that time again. Ministers and people ashamed to stand in the pulpit, and the gospel becomes a meal ticket to them. They're afraid to see anything. Some man's going to put them out of this or that or the other. There's only one man can put you out from heaven. That's God. And how are you going to be put out of heaven? Staying with the Word. That's what he sent you for. Oh yeah, they like to use excommunication. They like to use it as a tool. They like to use a deacon board as a tool. That's why we don't have a deacon board here. We have some deacon, or we have a deacon. But we don't have a deacon board. Because I don't believe in using roughshod, ruling over the people with a mighty hand. Well, brother, one more comment like that, and you're out of here. Well, if somebody said that to me, I'd be out of there. I'd say, not one more comment. I won't even wait. I'll give you the other comment right now. Go to hell. So Brother Vail told those ministers from, you know, the big shots. Well, Brother Vail, you know, we decided that so-and-so is going to get the east, so-and-so is going to get the west, so-and-so is going to get the, you know, Australian area, and so-and-so is going to get this and that. And he said, go to hell. That's exactly what Peter said. Go to hell with you and your money to Simon the sorcerer. What kind of people do you think we are? Standing there with the deacon talking down to sons of God. Who do you think my father is? You're going to talk to me like that. Who do you think you are? Brother Bram said, that's not the way it's to be done. You look at what Brother Bram said on loosing. He said, you don't loose a person. He said, we don't loose people. We don't use bully tactics. That's what look, I've read you about a dozen, ten pages of quotes today, scriptures. Showing that's how the devil does it. And I've got I've got 25 pages of notes here. We're not going to get through it today. I'm not going to finish this message. I'll put it up on the website. You can read the quotes for yourself. Brother Bram said, look, excommunication. He said, we don't do that. We pray for them. He's a deacon. If somebody's out of line, or maybe their kids are out of line, he said, just take them the tape, play the tape. Show them what's supposed to be done. Paul said, Jesus said, considering yourself, lest you be the one talked to. You see, we don't hammer on people. We preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Point them to Christ. Christ will do the... If there's a need to get right, the word of God will set it right. But you don't take people and take them before a board and threaten to excommunicate them if they disagree with you. Who are we to do such things? Why would we allow organization to take over the churches? Show me that in the scripture where there was a deacon board that took the people aside, threatened to excommunicate them for disagreeing. Brother Branson said, there's one reason we would put somebody out, and that's for a fornication or a spirit like that coming in among the church, making the women uncomfortable in the church. That's the only reason. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We know, Father, you are the same you change not. We see the spirit of organization has come into this message, not only taken over the message, as Brother Vail told me, the make-believers have taken over the message, but it's the spirit of organization, and it's the spirit of the devil. So, Father, we just pray that you'd help us to stay humble, stay true to thy word. If we have to stand face-to-face with the devil, then help us to stand face-to-face and let him know his end and where he's going. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to expend ourselves as a drink offering, as Paul said, being poured out as a drink offering. We know we have but one life to live. We know that it doesn't make any sense to try to save up our treasure on this earth because the government will take it. The thieves will break in and steal. The moths will corrupt. Or rust will corrupt. Moths will devour. But help us, Father, to store up our treasure in heaven. Help us to give this word and the promises, Lord, of glorification, having the mind of Christ, knowing our place in Christ, in the family of God. We just pray, Father, these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What number is that? 350. Let's just sing from 305. Must Jesus bear the cross alone?
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and his dear name repeat. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. The angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
And let's all stand and just worship him. Number 394, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. And number 177, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant today.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Amen. Wednesday night we'll have service at 7 o'clock. Brother Paul will be speaking. Paul, you'll be speaking. And we'll see you then. God bless you all. Let's just sing the song, Lord Be Glorified, as we leave today.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
bless you all.
In my